This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. This week, city councils in Hollywood Park and Alamo Heights repealed firearm open carry ordinances, which ran contrary to the Texas open carry law. The city of Almas Park repealed a similar ordinance last week after heated encounters with local law enforcement that led to the arrest of at least three gun rights activists. Here's what one of those encounters sounded like.
No, we're not getting on the ground.
Get on the ground.
We're not getting on the ground.
One more time to get on the ground. I'm not going to tell you again. If you have a license to carry, if you have a license to carry a handgun,
he doesn't need a license to carry a weapon.
Get back. Get back. Get away from him. You're interfering with the duties right now.
You have no duties to this law.
More than 250 gun rights activists advocates are expected to hit the streets of Almas Park this Saturday in demonstration in support of gun rights. How is the Second Amendment being discussed in our community? How do local issues fit into the nationwide debate on guns? We're joined by Rick Briscoe. He's the legislative director for Open Carry Texas, and the number to call in is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at TPR. Source. I do want to note, first off, we got some comments already before we began on our Facebook page and emails to us and tweets. People wondering, here's one from SA Moms. Why no opposing viewpoints on the ordinance repeal segment planned for today? As a resident of Alamo Heights and a volunteer for Moms Demand, I think it's only fair to have concerns of community members represented. And another email from Bridge from Almas Park resident. She says, please have someone presenting the opposing side to this debate on the air. We did reach out to the city of Almas Park to present someone. The chief of police there did not respond to our invitation. And you are the other side. If you feel compelled, you can give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. You can join the conversation at any point during this half hour. So again, welcome Mr. Briscoe to the conversation.
Thank you.
So tell me what you guys are planning for Saturday.
In short, we plan a peaceful, lawful assembly to petition the government for redress of grievances. We have coordinated the matter with the county sheriff, the SAPD chief, and the chief in Almas Park. We are hopeful that there will be no difficulties, that we'll be able to conduct our event, present a petition to the city government, and then go home.
Okay, so when you say you're going to present a petition about your grievances, so it's going to be a march of some sort?
A walk. We'll be walking down the sidewalks where sidewalks are available, and where not available, we'll be walking facing traffic according to Texas traffic code.
And there will be individuals carrying weapons?
We anticipate that there will be some individuals carrying what are generically referred to as long guns, a rifle or shotgun, others carrying a handgun who will have a license to carry a handgun, and others who may not be armed.
So we're seeing the number 250. Is that what you expect?
We don't really have a hard figure on how many people will attend. We've gotten reports of people who expressed an intent to be here from a couple of different states other than Texas.
So your grievances, what are your grievances?
Well, people have asked, they repealed the ordinance, what more do you want? It's not that the ordinance wasn't involved, but the real problem has been an undisciplined, overly aggressive, increasingly violent police department. There have been a number of incidents prior to the one leading to our president and founder, C.J. Grisham's arrest, where the police exceeded their lawful authority for persons legally going about their daily life. And we simply demand that the city and, if appropriate, other authorities investigate the police department for corrective action.
I've heard that you are demanding the resignation of the Almas Park Police Chief, Renee Valenciano.
We believe the circumstances exhibited during Mr. Grisham's arrest warrant that. CJ had spoken with the chief literally the day before, in which the chief had acknowledged the right to legally, peacefully open carry or conceal carry handguns or to open carry long guns without a license. And yet he turned around and he personally was the officer directly involved in the assault and arrest on those two individuals.
So, son, you want him to resign or be fired?
We would prefer that he be fired and not wear a badge again.
Now, the video is on YouTube. Anyone can watch the video. And so when I see that video, I see some activists who have these, I don't know what the kind of weapons they are. They look like AR-15 type guns, have them on their bodies. And the police roll up and the police tell them to show us your hands. And then it just kind of goes sideways from there. A lot of yelling, a lot of name calling. Thankfully, no one ever pulled a trigger in that encounter.
Well, I'll concur that it's good that the police didn't kill anybody.
Or anyone killed anybody. I don't want anyone to kill anybody. Everyone had guns, right?
There was no one in danger from our people. We were peacefully going about our business. The fact of the matter is the police rolled up, drew weapons, some of which were pointed at Mr. Everhart and Mr. Grisham without provocation and demanded that they get down on the ground. That's not the law. The chief personally knew that C.J. Grisham had a license to carry and was so carrying, and it simply is not an appropriate procedure to draw weapons on an individual and demand that they get down on the ground to demean them.
So, Ms. made clear, I want to make sure I understand you perfectly clear. So you're saying that if the police see an individual standing on a street corner, dressed in black, maybe wearing, I don't know if they look like they're wearing body armor, but I don't know if they were, if they weren't.
I'm not able to comment on the specifics because I'm a potential witness.
But if a police roll up on a guy like that and they see that he's carrying it's a high-powered weapon, that they just ignore it?
The conduct is legal unless there are other circumstances which warrant their action. It's no more different than a man walking down the street smoking a cigar with a cell phone in his hand. Both are legal activities.
So if the police had seen Devin Patrick Kelly, the individual who shot up the church in Sutherland Springs, just walking down the street just before he shot up that church, they should have just let him go.
There's a great deal more to that story, and I don't wish to delve into that because it's very complex.
Well, there's an officer. He sees a guy with a gun. He doesn't ask him, hey, buddy, what's up?
That particular event begins with the United States Air Force not properly performing.
Well, all the law officer knows is there's a guy there with a gun.
Police officer is at liberty to observe. Police officer is at liberty to make a voluntary encounter. I've discussed this with the Sheriff's Association, members of the legislature, and anyone can approach anyone and engage in a conversation. I could walk up to you and strike up a conversation just as a police officer could.
Okay, so they're saying don't say, hey, you, hands on the, get on the ground. You want to engage in a conversation and find out what you're up to. That's okay.
Unless the specific circumstances warrant otherwise.
All right, we're going to go to break. We got phone calls here. People want to jump in the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break.
When Houston poet Marley Lee-Sama was growing up, he had a hard time finding material that spoke to him on a personal level.
Since I was a brown kid in a bad neighborhood, my teachers would only have one book to recommend to me, which was Sandra Cisneros' House on Mango Street. And I've been told to read this book like 100 times.
He found his voice instead in hip-hop. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Rick Briscoe. He's the legislative director for Open Carry Texas. They are planning a day of action on Saturday in Olmos Park, planning to do a peaceful march walk to the city hall and deliver their grievances, where they are expecting, they want to see the police chief there fired after his actions with gun activists recently, where several were arrested, one was tased. And a number phones are open. The number is 210-614-8980, and Sarah is on the line. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm a resident of Almost Park and happened to be driving by during the first incident that you guys are discussing, and I had my children in the car, and even my 8-year-old son was able to recognize how scary it was to see people with, you know, unsavory characters at best, open carrying. And I was very comforted to see the Almost Park police in action, you know, basically containing the situation. I felt much safer. Had there not been a police officer out there, I would have called one. And I fully support the Almost Park police basically containing this type of, in my opinion, despicable behavior. Stay out of my neighborhood with your open carry message. I don't feel safe, and I've talked to other residents and business owners on McCullough who are hiring off-duty police officers to stand in their businesses. And, you know, I would love to go out and protest against the open carry, but I'm afraid to. And I will keep my children and my, you know, anybody that I know, like, we're staying away from McCullough.
Sarah, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. So let me get to one point that she made. She made a lot of good ones, but let me focus on this one. Should people like Sarah call the police if they see someone walking down the street open carrying?
Whether they should or not is a different question of whether they may. Should they so choose, the police may respond, observe, and report back to dispatch what they observe. We went through this in January, actually before January of 2016, during the transition to the licensed open carry law for handguns. And the answer is that if the police observe an individual who is not doing anything that is a violation of the law, they may observe if they so wish or go about their business. Law enforcement has real business to do. There are approximately 2 commissioned peace officers per 1,000 population across the state. Obviously, the exact number varies from one jurisdiction to the next. And they've got real work to do against real bad guys. If they observe a man walking down the street smoking a cigar with a gun on his hip and nothing more, that's not against the law. Many of the sheriffs with whom I spoke at a convention that year indicated that unless there was something else which would cause them to stop or question that individual, they expect their deputy to get on his way to real work.
Okay, got some other callers. This is Becca. Becca, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I want to say that I'm a volunteer for Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. It's a gun violence prevention group. And that unlike most, if not all, of these gun extremists, I actually live in Alamo Heights. My child goes to school in the Alamo Heights School District. We shop at local businesses in Almost Park in Alamo Heights. And I support the Second Amendment. But if I see someone open carrying a military-style rifle, I automatically think there's a threat. And I don't want to have to do a threat assessment when I'm running errands. And I really don't want my child to have to. But for me, the issue here goes beyond the debate of preeminence and municipal rights. And the fact is that open carry is a dangerous policy that a majority of the public and law enforcement opposes. When you combine the fact that private sales or the gifting of firearms without a background check is legal in Texas, and that the open carry of long arms is unlicensed, we have no way of knowing if the person open carrying a loaded rifle or long gun in public has undergone a background check. And so really, stunts like the forced education demonstration, all they do is they scare the community. They're bad for local businesses, and they create a burden on law enforcement. And our state lawmakers really need to address this issue.
Okay, Becca, thank you for the call. So, Rick Presco, legislative director for Open Carry Texas, how do I tell a good guy from a gun from a bad guy, good guy from a bad guy with a gun?
It's really quite simple. Conduct. Police officers. No, conduct. Police officers and legislators have asked that question frequently. if a police officer arrives on the scene of a shooting incident? How are they supposed to tell whether a man with a gun is a good guy or a bad guy? Well, if the police officer instructs or shouts, put the gun down, the good guy will. The bad
guy.
They
did that in Olmos Park, and the guys did not comply.
I said at a shooting.
So you have to wait till the blood flies flows.
No. I'm talking about when an officer arrives at an event where there has been a shooting.
Okay.
When there has been no shooting, there is no degree of immediacy. The manner in which the firearm is carried determines the circumstance. In the instance in Olmos Park, it was lawfully carried on the person of the individuals involved, and there was no cause for alarm. The lady who just called in, most of what she had to say is not factually correct. The public does support the Second Amendment, unlike the Mothers Demand Action crowd who, when they call into shows like this, will say, I support the Second Amendment. But if you check their official policies, they're out to either repeal the Second Amendment or take away your guns, period. They have taken such positions in the legislature. And insofar as shootings go, the majority of shooting deaths are actually suicides. And when you start breaking down the statistics.
Okay, that doesn't jive with the key statistics that have been provided by the FBI, that most shooting deaths are from suicides. Let me go to another caller. This is Adriana. Adriana, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I personally have my CHL, and I'm just curious as to what the point is to open carry besides intimidation, because it makes no sense to me. If you have your CHL, if you can carry a concealed weapon, what's the point of carrying a long gun, a rifle, an AR-15, whatever it is, besides intimidating the people you're walking around or, you know, that are in the neighborhood that you're.
Okay. All right, Adriana, go ahead. Rick, go ahead.
She illustrates the problem that Texans have not experienced a variety of items, such as the open carry of handguns, during the lifetime of any living Texan until January 1st of 2016, unless they've lived out of state where it was legal to do so. The laws which restricted the carry of handguns in general were passed post-Civil War with the specific intent to be enforced on a racially discriminatory basis. They were intended to keep the former slaves, the freedmen, tied to the land they formerly had worked as slaves. You may recall the release of papers from Rosa Parks about her grandfather sitting up at night with a shotgun to protect the family against night raiders.
So I want to go back to one thing you said. I want to get the statistics correct. You talked about suicides, deaths from suicides, and I was looking at numbers from of 1 year on average, of ages between 0 and 19, there was 1,600 are murdered and 958 died from suicide. But we look at all ages, we have 12,243 were murdered and 21,637 died from suicide. So there's a lot who die from suicide that's out there, but having guns available.
Well, let's talk rather than about 1 year, about many years. Suicides, whatever the number may be, are a significant factor, and let's exclude them.
Okay.
Because they're not really a crime against someone else.
All right.
Included in those statistics are, for example, the Zarnav brother who was shot by police, one of the Boston bombers. Justified police shootings are included in those statistics. And when you break them out, you'll also notice a trend that the areas with some of the strictest gun control laws are the areas with the most violence, such as Chicago.
Yeah, but Chicago is seeing the lowest murder rate they have had since the 1960s. And one of the arguments that the pro-Second Rights Amendments have is that more guns creates a civil society. And so how does that jive?
The question is, if strict gun control doesn't limit violence as it does not in Chicago, guns aren't the problem. The people who commit the acts are.
Okay.
A gun is an inanimate object. There are more people killed
with hammers.
Well, it's an
object that kills people. So let me go to John. Hey, John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. So I'm a criminal justice major at UTSA. If I was driving down McCullough, see these guys with what appears to be AR-15. I don't know the difference between the gun and, oh, well, the guy's walking down the street with a cigar gun on his hip. I don't know the difference between an AR-15 with a bump stock and not. So, I mean, I'm going to call the cop. I'm going to ask them to do something. If his friends were sitting there and not abiding by what the cops are telling them to do, yeah, I'm going to tell them to get on the floor and put their guns away and things like that. I mean, what's the difference?
Okay, I'm going to go to the caller because I got a lot of calls. Rob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I always hear this argument, and it starts with one side saying, hey, we're tired of our kids being killed in school, and it's met with, we can't do anything because of the Second Amendment. We have restrictions on firearms that comply with the Second Amendment, so not everything is going to directly conflict with it. Limiting firearms or limiting the severity of firearms, like whether or not you can have a powerful rifle versus a bolt-action rifle, seems like it should be an argument that's not constitutional or Second Amendment in nature, but how can we protect our society, reduce the number of guns that cause bigger problems, but also keep firearm ownership legal, just restricted on what you can own.
All right, Rob, so thank you for the call. So is opposing the Second Amendment the same thing as saying we need to just, you know, take a look at it?
What's the difference in opposing free speech?
Well, there are restrictions on free speech as well. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
Well, you can't do a variety of things with firearms either. There are more firearms laws than we can count. The problem is the people who are engaged in these acts. There's been a lack of emphasis on mental health care. If you observe most of these mass shootings, they are almost always an individual with mental health issues
and on
psychotropic medications.
On February 28, 2017, Donald Trump signed a measure nixing regulations aimed at keeping guns out of the hands of some mentally ill people. Should he have signed that?
There is an issue with that in to the extent that it scoops up people who are not actually a problem. As far as people who do have serious mental health issues, it's appropriate.
Did Nicholas Cruz have enough mental health issues that should have prevented him from having a weapon?
Yes.
And he's the Parkland shooter.
The government failed, period.
He totally qualified for having a weapon.
The FBI failed. The state failed. The sheriff failed. The local police failed. The school authorities failed.
Help me understand.
The local mental health authorities failed.
Help me understand. They all had
more than adequate.
Okay. You just help me understand. How did he violate a law, or was he convicted of a law that something that would have kept him from having a weapon?
There is no documented evidence that he was.
Was there a legal way to prevent him from having a weapon?
Yes, there was.
What is it?
If any of those levels of government had acted based on the information available to them, he would not have been able to purchase a firearm.
But he was able to.
Government failed. Government was the problem.
Okay, but if he had bought a weapon and was walking down the street and going to that school to shoot it up, then they couldn't have stopped him.
Well, you just said going to the school to shoot it up. For one thing, there's a federal gun-free zone law dealing with schools. One of the failures of the school was to fail to restrict access to the school. So they had specific notice of his misconduct. They restricted him from carrying a backpack onto the campus while he was a student and failed to refer the matter to the police.
Okay, so real quickly, we're running out of time. Saturday, peaceful demonstration.
Peaceful, lawful.
Lawful, peaceful, calm people talking about their legal rights to carry openly in Texas. That's the law now. And we want everyone to realize this is going to happen. And no one
should be concerned about anything.
Everything should be nice and calm, and we'll be happy.
Precisely.
At the end of the day. All right. Well, Rick Briscoe, thank you so much for coming up here, Legislative Director for Open Carry Texas. Source continues when we come back. We're talking about raising the age to buy tobacco to 21 in San Antonio.